I think of how perverted they can be when they go out and go away from God today. How helpless they are to get back. Let me give you a little illustration. There was a person that God got after, and I felt like calling him and talking to him about God early one morning, 4 o'clock. I got him on the line. And when I talked to him and warned him of what things is going to happen, then the Lord got after him again. I was preaching here one morning, telling of the experience and what God laid on my heart, that what was going to happen to him if they didn't get straightened out. And they happened to be listening to this program. And they never did listen to it, but they just happened to turn over and get the program, not even knowing what it was, and heard my voice and heard me tell the exact thing that happened. And in spite of all that warning that God gave them, you know what they did? They absolutely just ignored every warning of God and did nothing about it. And delved right on into the sin of the flesh. Now, that person came to my home and tried to make a stand and get back to God. But they hadn't got out of the house till they made up their mind they was going to go right straight on back again. That wasn't real repentance. Repentance is turnabout face. When I see people all over the country trying to get back to God and come back and pray and pray and pray and turn around as soon as they get out of the church house, go right back to the thing again, that's not repentance. And then again, I'm saying maybe I'm right. Maybe the book is right, since it never has been wrong. It's a dangerous thing for a man to leave God. A dangerous thing for a man to leave God. And there are many people doing it. The Bible said in the end time there'd be a great falling away. And he used the word falling away. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know what falling away is. That's getting away from what you once had. And when people that have an experience with God walk out from it and just plain go back into the beggy elements, you'll say, oh, anytime you want to come back to God, you can just come back and ask God to forgive you, and he'll do that. I know in the Bible it teaches that God will bring backsliders back if they come and repent. But if you reach a place and the devil gets such a hold on you and God warns you of this and you are so bound and so your brain has been so warped that you can't get back, then brother, you have crossed a deadline. Now, I know that the Bible teaches that, you know, it said one place that they went away and God dealt with them. And then in the New Testament it says here that and because they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, you know, it kind of conflicted with their way of life. I'm having a good time. I am petting and humoring the flesh. If it wants a cigarette, I smoke it. If it wants a little beer, I drink it. If it wants a little whiskey, I drink it. And if I want to cuss a little, I cuss a little. And if I want to commit adultery and give myself a little fling to the flesh, I'll find some high-heeled stepper and I'll have me a little fling. And when I get through, if I get feeling too bad, I'll come back and say, God, forgive me, and go right on back. And then the next time, I'll want to have another little fling. And if I get feeling a little pressured, I'll come back and say, God, forgive me. I got a little news for you. God said, I don't hear nothing about what you're doing. The eyes of the Lord's over the righteous, but his ears the eyes of the Lord's over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of God is against them that do evil. Brother, I'm going to tell you, there's got to be a selling out. There's got to be, you've got to put things up for auction, brother. You've got to strip yourself when you come back to God. And there's only one way to do it, to seek God with your whole heart. And what I'm saying is this. People don't want to have God in their knowledge. And the Bible said because they did not like to obtain God in their knowledge. You see, they didn't like to do that because keeping the presence of God and the conscience of God, when they cuss, it bothers them. When they go on a rage and fuss and holler out, that bothers them because they're thinking about God. And when they want to cheat or swindle or do little crooked deeds, you know, then they feel bad about it. And when they want to tell their dirty jokes, they feel bad about it. When they want to just run their own show, go where they want to go and do what they want to do, they don't want to consult God. And God watches them, and they've checked God out. Now let me go back and show you God's side of it. It said, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, wherefore God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are inconvenient. And in one place it said, because they didn't straighten up and they want to do and to do things that God wanted them to do, and God had dealt with them, and they had the knowledge of God, and they went away from God, and they backslid. In Corinthians, Paul the apostle is talking about what happened in the early church. He said they got together and turned them over to the destruction of the flesh and turned them over to Lucifer the devil. You say, that's not in the Bible. It happens to be in the New Testament. It happens to be exactly the words Paul said. He said they turned them over to the devil, to Satan, for the destruction of the flesh. I had a fellow come into me in my office, and he had once held one of the greatest revivals in the city of Dallas that we've had. He shook this old city. And I knew him real well. I wasn't exactly in his organization, but he was a man that knew God. He was a man that knew how to pray. He was a man that had principle, and he could sway audiences by the tens of thousands, and he came to the auditorium here in the city. And all churches, Methodists, Baptists, Nazarenes, Full Gospel, Pentecost, Church of God, Four Square, all joined together. Boy, they had a great revival. And this man stood in the center. He prayed. He sought God. And converts, churches were blessed by him. But you know what? He let the flesh get in the way. He let the devil throw a little sin in front of him. And he began to quit his prayer life. He checked God out. And he didn't want to have God in his knowledge. He came back to my church. Listen to me while I tell you this. He came back to my church. I'm proving to you and showing you that the Bible is not a lie when it said because you don't like to retain God in your knowledge. There's one thing God said he'll do, and he'll do it. He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. And when you do, brother, it's God have mercy on your soul. God only puts up with so much tomfoolery, and then, brother, he'll let you go because he knows his outcome. But when he gets ready, brother, to pull the net in, I mean, you're in a sad fix. And this man came to my office, and he told me, he said, Brother Hibbard, he said, I'm having a battle. I'm having a real battle with the devil. And he opened his heart, and he told me, he said, I'm considering marrying a woman, and he said, I've had some problems with my wife because he had gone back and living like the devil. After he had known God and been a preacher, and God had used his life, he was committing adultery with some woman, and he was drinking a little on the side. And he came in and told me, he said, Brother Hibbard, in my office, he said, Brother Hibbard, I need the Lord. I really need to get delivered. We had a real good prayer for that brother. And God dealt with his soul. He raised his hand and we prayed and prayed, and he shed tears because he knew from whence he had fallen. He knew the position he had with God at one time, and now he would go to a place to try to hold a revival. He couldn't get a little old shotgun church out at the edge of town to preach in hardly, because God was no longer with him. He was trying to get any kind of a thing to preach and get some money, but every thumbs were down. Brother, I'm going to tell you, the way of a transgressor is hard. And when he raised his hands and he said, Brother Ebert, I want to get back to God. And we raised our hands and we prayed and prayed. And after the service was over, he said, after I had prayed with him in my office, he'd really touched God. And he said, I feel God's forgiven me. I feel God's forgiven me. I want to come back again. It's a dreadful thing to go away from God. Because there's something happens when you go away from God. Don't do it. Don't do it. And anyway, after he prayed, I said, well, I want you to come in and preach for me this morning. That was Sunday morning. That was years ago. He came up to the pulpit, and he preached that morning on conscience. The thing that tracks you down and brings you in is your conscience. I'll never forget it, though that happened about almost 10 years ago. I'd say pretty close 10 years ago. I've never forgot the sermon. I've never forgot the feeling I had as he preached. God blessed him. God was trying to give him a start, but he went away from my church, got back, got under the temptation, took a little drink from that, got back to the old sin that the devil gets so many on, lust, and that thing begins to drive the soul. And it's caused many a giant to fall. And so he began to flirt and carry on affair with this girl. And a few weeks, not months, just a few weeks after that, he was in a car coming from California to Texas. And just a little bit out of Dallas out here, he drove his car on the wrong side. He got sleepy. Drove his car on the wrong side and had a blinding crash. And he was killed instantly, backslid, half drunk, with an affair with a woman. After he's been serving God, moving the city of Dallas, thousands running the aisles and finding Jesus Christ under his ministry, but he sold out. After he had tasted of the good word of God and the gift of God, the powers of the world to come, he had tasted of the Holy Ghost, he had been made partakers of the powers of the world to come, he fell away. He did do it. He did do it. He fell away. And he went out of this world as a very young man in his early 40s, barely out of his 30s, in his early 40s. He went out of this world, slid into hell, and as I talk to you this morning, he is in hell now. Why? Because he went away from God, he went back to sin, he went back to lust, he went back to adultery, and died in that condition, and heaven is not populated with adulterers. It's not populated with drunkards. It's not populated with those that sell out Jesus Christ and re-crucify him and go back to the big elements. It happened just like God said. I don't care how high you get, you just fall and flatten out that much when you hit. There's another man that I know very personally, like my own son. I know him like my own son. He worked for me in my church years ago. The first song he ever sung was in our church. You know who he is. You played for him many times. And the first song he ever sung, I think you played for him. I didn't know it. What song that was, the first one he ever sung, Sister Hibbert always remembered it. One Lost Sheep, that's it. Mm-hmm. That is the first song he ever sung. But he began to go to the top. He formed a quartet, and he began to be blessed. And finally, he began to get in the big chips in the record business and the record star. And he began to put out records all over this nation. And you could walk into most any music store anywhere in America and ask for his record, and you'd find his picture and his records before you. And churches all over this nation would take the records and play them. Sister Hibbard has played his records dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And we have some of his records in our office now where we make our recordings. And he was one of the greatest singers. He had a voice that only God could give a man. And he was successful. He had a precious baby boy. He had a precious wife. And he had success. But he let it go to his head and forget God. He little by little began to drift away and think the very fact that I have really had an experience with God, nothing is going to happen to me. Somehow he becomes sold on that idea. I've got news for you. God's with you while you're with him. And if you leave God, God has to leave you. Christ will not stay in the life of a polluted soul. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. God does not connect himself with anything connected with death. And when your soul dies, brother, God leaves. And even the fleas leave a dog when it dies. And God said when sin is finished, it brings forth death. I don't care what you think, what your preacher tells you. It's a lie from hell because God said when you sin, it brings forth death. And if that sin is not repented of and quit the thing and turn about face, that thing will kill you. And so this man that had his records all over the music stores in all the United States, I don't think he could have gone in hardly any big music store in any big city and asked for his records, but what, they'd have been right there on the front. He made money. Money began to pour in. And I saw him one day and I began to talk to him, and he checked me. He said, Jay, he called me Jay because I knew him almost like a son. And he said, he began to kind of get on me because my straight-laced, preaching the truth a little bit too narrow. He said, now the Lord is understand some things. I said, Jack, I just talked to him and I said, now look, I said, God has a conviction and God's going to stay by that conviction. Now listen to what I'm telling you. And little by little, I would try my best to help that young man. But he began to go the way of the flesh. And it wasn't very many months after he began to quit his preaching. And now he was living on the money he got from his records. And in this city, he died as a man that was a dad to a precious child. And he was the father and the husband of a precious wife. He died in this city in a motel with another woman of questionable character. Died, had a heart attack while he was in bed with another woman. You say, that's plain talking. It takes plain talking to wake up people and let them know that God's not a fool. You say, well, wouldn't God just keep on dealing and dealing and dealing? The answer is no. God said, I have enough of it. I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So now let me tell you what I'm going to do. He said, now I'm going to laugh at your calamity. And I'm going to mock at you. And if I don't mock at you, when your fear comes, I'm a liar. But I am going to do it. I'm going to mock at you when your fear and desolation comes. And you will call. You will come. But I'm telling you now, I will not answer because I call and you refuse. The Bible said, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He said, there's a million things you maybe shouldn't do, but above all things, don't harden your heart when God calls. You know what God's doing right now? He's talking to people out there in radio land that's hearing this preacher's voice. There's backslid as a goose, brother. Let me tell you, they're away from God. They once knew Jesus Christ. They once had the presence of God. They've gone away from it. They've let pleasure. They've let money. They've let sin. They've let vice stand in the way. And brother, it'll cost you your soul in hell. You reach a place you don't believe in nothing. Not afraid of judgment. Not afraid of God. You're not afraid of hell. That don't do away with any of them. But he said, your fear will come and your desolation come. He said, I'm going to let you run on. Now, we think sometime when God gets mad at us that before 5 seconds he's going to kill us. He said, Pharaoh is wanting to kill my son. All God had to do, God hold the breath. All he had to do is just pull a string, and Pharaoh would be dead. But he let him live. He said, take my son over there in Egypt and keep my son in Egypt until you hear of his death. Because he's going to die. And my son's not going to spend his whole life in Egypt. He's going to stay there while Pharaoh lives out his dwindling days that I've given him. God gives every man a few dwindling days before he cuts him off entirely. Now, don't you think God didn't deal with Pharaoh? He did. But it wasn't too long after that that Pharaoh stuck out his chest and began to swell his great words, and the whole audience arose and applauded him. And they clapped their hands and shouted. And they said, it's not the voice of a man. It's the voice of a God. It's the voice of a God. And he stood. He stood. And he bowed to him. He was accepting all that flubber. He was accepting all that noise they were making. And while he stood there, God spoke the word and worms. God created worms, flesh-eating worms. And the worms immediately began to eat his very body up. And he let out a scream and fell in a convulsion. And they took his worm-eaten body out and put it in a grave. It said, because he gave not God the glory. Now, he let him live a long time. He wanted to kill Jesus Christ. He's after him. And he killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of babies trying to get to Jesus. And God let him go on. And you know what? Some people said, well, God hasn't killed me yet. I know. But you know, like the fellow said, he took the sword, the real sharp knife, and he whacked at the fellow's head. He said, you didn't get it. He said, try to move it. Men, I've got it. You'll die just right away. You know, sometimes I reach in and I'll take a radio or television. I've got one at home. It's kind of a funny thing. I'll jerk the cord real quick, and that thing will be talking. And it'll still go ahead and say several intelligent sentences and still talk with the cord pulled clear out. Because the heat of those tubes are up to a heat, and it's still operating. It functions a little while, but I know it's going to finally die out because I pull a cord. Brother, I'm going to tell you, God is in the act of pulling a cord on a many a life, and God said that I've given that person there time to repent. Now turn them over, it said, to the devil. For the destruction of the flesh. I'm not talking out of Sears and Roebuck catalog. I'm talking out of the Bible. Yes. And let me tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that man, after once knowing God, and once having a... I've lived in the home with him. He slept in my home night and night and night after night. He worked for me in my church. I've seen him pray at the altar. I've seen him win souls and bring them to the altar. And I've seen him grow up and forget God and go back and die and go to hell. Let me tell you, you say, I'm no judge. I'm not no judge, but I am a fruit inspector. Let me tell you, when anybody's supposed to serve God, have a companion and have a family and have a baby at home that needs a dad and needs a husband, and then they find him overnight in a motel with another woman, and he dies with a heart attack there, and you know just about, if you'd pull the curtain back, you know just exactly about what would be happening. And then for them to come out and think that you're going to meet him in the judgment day and he's going to go into heaven. My brother, if people walk down the streets of heaven and you'd say, how did you go? What was you doing when you died? My Lord, give us sense, my brother. Do you think heaven is filled with people like that? Some people think all you got to do is get saved. Then no matter what you do, you go on through life. When you die, you go to heaven. My friend, what kind of place you think heaven is? God said there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Now, if God lets sin get in, and death don't sanctify sin, sin's got to be repeated. You say, well, what about so-and-so there? I don't care who says what. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, but God's word be the truth. You can't find in the word of God where you pray through yesterday. I don't care what you get or what height. When you leave God today, brother, it's too sad because it's not what you have been, it's what you are.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible says, is the way of the Lord unequal? The children of Israel said, the way of God's not equal. He said, let's see if it is. 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. He said, in the day that the righteous man that's lived for me for years and been righteous, served God. In the day that the righteous man forsake his righteousness and commits iniquity and doeth that which is evil. The righteous man has forsaken his righteousness. He's committed iniquity and doeth that which is evil. God in his word said, this is what God said. God said all of his righteousness that he has performed all of his life shall all be forgotten and shall not be remembered, and he shall die in that which he doeth is evil. He shall die in his sin, and all of his life of righteousness will not save him in the day that he commits iniquity and doeth that which is unlawful and wrong. Now, you said you think the way of the Lord's not equal. So let me tell you the rest of that story. There's a sinner, cusses and lies and steals and swears and carouses around. Maybe he's a sex pervert. I don't know what all he may be. But God said in the day that the sinner will leave his life of sin, though he has lived many, many years in sin, and the day that that sinner looks back over his horrible past, and all of his iniquity and his sins and his vice and his crime and his uncleanness and his immorality, the day, God said, that sinner turns from his iniquity and turns from his sin and doeth that which is right in my sight, that man shall live because of his righteousness, and none of his sins of the past shall be brought against him, but they shall be blotted out and forgotten, and he shall live because of that which he doeth is right.
Yes.
If that's the principle God had when he sent the message from Ezekiel, God help any human being to think if God had that kind of a setup in the Old Testament that he would send his son to this earth and perform and set up a plan of salvation and a dispensation of grace that would give license to sinners to come and accept his son that died for them, and to go back in the baggy elements and live like the devil and come to the end and go to heaven. Brother, I've got news for you. If God had a standard that is right and lawful back under the Old Testament, he certainly has one today. Sin will go to hell just as quick today. It's not what you was yesterday. The Bible said it's not every man that says, Lord, Lord. He said, I'll tell you who it is. It's not one that just says, well, way back there, I know I got saved. Oh, no, forget that. He said, it's not every man that says, Lord, Lord, but they who do God's will. You mean to tell me when you commit sin, you're doing God's will? The Bible tells me that sin shall not have dominion over you. You say, well, but I sin. Well, then if you do, you're a sinner. You may commit a sin. I've committed sin, but I'm no sinner. When I commit a sin, I'm guilty. I have to come and repent and get rid of that thing. A sinner He sins every day. He knows today he's going to sin tomorrow. That's a way of life. Sinning is not a way of life for me. I'm greatly alarmed. Listen, everything comes to a grinding halt. If I ever find myself and I've sinned, I come to God. I've got to get rid of it. I get that thing under the blood. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But it's not a way of life. The very best of us, if a person said, I've reached a place that I can't sin, well, that's a lie, because nobody can reach that. We're here in this world, and it's possible we could sin. But if we sin, we have to repent. And that sin will not get into heaven unless it's repented of. It must be put behind us. But we're living in a horrible time. God said, if you don't like to retain God in your knowledge, he said, I will do this promise. I'll promise you this. I'll promise you that I will turn you over to a reprobate mind to do the things that are uncomely. And that's exactly what's happening to millions of people that are fooling around with God and going back, brother. They're going back in the vague elements, and God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. And let me tell you, you try to function your mind normally when it's a reprobate mind, you can't do it. God turns you over to a reprobate mind. Why? Because we have had the light, and we've sinned against the light. Oh, hallelujah. How many are glad? Yesterday I felt impressed to read that scripture in Hebrews, where he tells there, talking about people that fall away, where he says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance. For it is impossible for those. Now, he's not just talking about anybody. He's talking about people that has been in and that's had the experience. I want you to get this very closely. It's a thin line. But the same Bible that tells you the prodigal son and tells you God will forgive the backslider, there's all kind of stages of backsliding. You know that? You could be sitting right here this morning and God say you backslid. You know, it may not be you backslid to where other people are, but you backslid from where you used to be. That's children of it. That's exactly what he said to the Ephesus church. He said, you backslid. I know your works, but you got them. I know your labor. Your labor for me. And I know your patience. I know your patience and your habit. And I know how you can't stand evil. You have holiness. You have a standard of holiness, and you can't stand that which is evil. And not for the church's sake, or denominational sake, but for my sake. You have labored, and you have had a life of prayer. How does it say that? And thou hast not fainted. Men ought always to pray and not faint. When you don't pray, you faint. No Christian can ever tell me that you never pray without fainting. You faint. He said, thou hast not fainted. They had gone through, I dare say, every one of them come to church to pray sometime. They go in the prayer room and pray a little bit. I'm not reading to you out of, I'm giving you word for word what Jesus said. Now, if you'd read that, if it closed right there, you'd say, well, boy, howdy. We'll have to stand, take off our hat to the Ephesus church. Boy, they had it. I know thy works, patience, and I know that thou hast labored, and for my name's sake, you've labored and not fainted. You can't stand that which is evil. And you don't let everything come along and get behind that pulpit. You've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and you found them liars. You've tried them. You wouldn't let them get in the pulpit. You have kept clean the pulpit. You have not fainted. You can't stand that which is evil. What a standard. But he said, you backslid. He said, remember from whence thou art fallen. You're in a fallen state. And repent. Not only remember from whence you're fallen, but repent and do your first works. And if you don't do it, I will come and I will take my candlestick. I will do it because I said I'll do it. When God says he'll do something, he'll do it. He said, I will take my candlestick. That's in the church. It's burning now. It's got a light in it, but I'm talking about the candlestick. That's the holder for the light. When the candlestick's gone, there's no light. You need to think you're going to get a light when the candlestick's gone. He said, I'm going to take the candlestick, and I'm going to move it from among you. God help any church when God's moved the candlestick. He said, you're right now on the verge of removing the candlestick. You have fallen, and you need to repent and do your first works. But now I'm going to tell you about God. God said, he's smart. If he'd have come there to him and said, the main thing I'm writing the church to him, they've fallen, they've lost their first love, remember whence thou art fallen. Do your first work. Remember, you have left your first love. You didn't lose it. You know where it's at. Go back and pick it up. Lost your first love. He said, the whole thing I'm talking to you about, and the reason you have fallen, the reason you need to repent, and the reason your threat of the candlestick moving is one thing. First love. You don't have it. Labor? Yeah. I know how that thou hast, for my name's sake, labored. Thou hast borne. And for my name's sake, you've hated that which is evil. And you remember, he told all the good things that they know they were doing. And you know, if you're going to ever kind of correct a person for something they're not doing right, they got sense enough to know how many good things they're doing. Always acknowledge the good things they're doing. That's honest, that's right. But then if you want to help them and correct them, acknowledge what they are doing right, that you've seen it, and you're not blinded to it. But there's something else that has set in that will eventually corrode and keep eating until it will destroy your relationship with God. So he first tells them the good things, and then he told them, he said, but I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen. You know, that is something that's very important right there. He didn't say remember to whence thou art fallen, because they could have said, well, now look here. We have fallen to this state that we're coming to church regularly, we're praying, we can't stand that which is evil, we check every preacher, and if he's not what he should be, we don't put him in the pulpit, we have holiness, we pray, we have not fainted. For your sake, we have labored, we cannot stand that which is evil, so we haven't backslid. So when we look to where we are, he didn't say, see to whence thou art fallen, because that's where they had fallen. He said, remember from whence. You used to, years ago, months ago, you had all the things that you have now functioning in your church, had all of them, with one more thing that you don't have now. I check, and I find that you have all these things you had back there a year or so ago, but there's one thing you had then that is very vital, and you don't have it now, and you have left your first love. Now, he didn't say you have no sign of love. I dare say they had a whole lot more love than most all the world around them. He was talking about a certain kind of God-given love called first love. You know what first love is when a husband and wife marries? You know? You know what it is? First love? You know, he gets off, the whistle blows. Oh, he can't hardly wait. Don't even want to wash his hands. He wants to run out there real quick, and the car don't start the first time the thing goes around. He's going, start. Why? Mary, I'm thinking about Mary. And when it starts, here he goes. He almost runs a red light, and he's headed for home. Gets a chance, he'll take her a package plug of gum. He'll walk in, and the first thing he says, Honey, and she'll say, yes, John, okay, I'm home. And she comes down, not with another man, she comes down. He grabs her and he hugs her, and he'll say, oh, what you got for supper, hon? Oh, well, honey, you know, you told me to fix this and fix that and the other. And he said, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to start you. Well, listen, wait a minute, let's go out and eat tonight. Okay, oh, well, all right, John. And here they go. They come in, and they go to bed. And they lay down, and he lay there a while. And then she hadn't started snoring yet. And he'll reach over and grab her and say, honey, I love you. I love you too, honey. And they've already kissed goodnight, but he'll reach over and give her another smack. First love. 10 years later, same man, same woman, comes in, gets off, washes his hands, don't care whether the car starts or not, comes onto the house, walks in, honey, no, mama, come up here, bunch of kids around too. I'm just letting you know I'm here. And she comes in and said, what you got for supper? Well, I've been, I'm hungry. When I get in, I like to have something to eat. And go to bed that night. John, you didn't kiss me goodnight. Oh, well, you know I love you. Call her the old lady. Well, you know, old lady's there, and I'd like to go out now, but the old lady's there. Old lady now. Old lady. Now, you see what I mean? She's old lady now. Little by little. Now, you take that same guy, and you go up to him and said, Mary, you married old so-and-so's daughter? I sure did. What you got to say about it? Well, I just wanted to tell you that I think she's a snoot. And before he even thinks, he knows what he should do. He hauls off, though he's up in years now. He's not the young, tall, and handsome he used to be. He's up in years, stooped over in age. But before he even thinks, whap, he hits him and down he goes. When he cools him off and pours water on him, gets him up and say, hey, bud, don't you ever open your lip about my wife. He loves his wife. He fights for her. He labors for her. He hasn't fainted. He goes to work all the time. But he's lost his first love. Jesus said, I know what you're doing, but I know one thing you're not doing. And don't you never kid yourself. That young wife that married that man, and for a while she enjoyed that first love. When it dies out, she knows it. And don't you think Jesus Christ don't know it when our first love dies out? Oh, there's no way to go to a church. But they find a way. They find a way to go. I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell nobody. I called a person getting after them because they were going back smoking. They left the church going back smoking. And while I was talking to them, they was trying to make excuses why they're smoking. They'd had a lot of trouble, and they was nervous. And I said, you'll have more trouble, no more nerves going back to sin. Well, she said, now it'll be April the 27th. That's on Sunday, that before I'll get back. I've got everything mapped out just right, and I have enough money here and there, and it'll be at least till then before I can come to church. Have money, just do out 2 packages of cigarettes. You can buy enough money to come to church. That was 3 weeks ago. They haven't been here yet, and they won't come. And when they do come, they're going to be backslid as all out. Yeah? Now, if they had the first love, brother, they'd find a way to go to the house of God if they had to hitchhike or if they had to find someone in the neighborhood. The fact is, they love sin and they've lost their love for God. But he said, you're a backslid. Remember from whence you're fallen. I'll move the candlestick if you don't get the first love. And the churches of Jesus Christ today need the first love. When we see sinners come back, I don't care how bad they've been in sin. I don't want them to bring sin in and come in the church today and back and sin. But when they repent, they show signs of repentance. They come in the church and they really come back to God. It will not help them for God's children to snub them. It'll help every last one of us to realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be in that same shoe. I'm going to pray for them. If they live a double life and go to hell, they're not going to say, you as a professing Christian put a stumbling block, but you held out your hand. You tried to encourage me. Brother, I'm never wanting to quench a thing if it's smoking. I want to blow it into a flame. And I'm Jesus. I believe Jesus will. There's too many people cold and indifferent. And if everything don't go exactly like they want to, oh, the service was terrible. Look, we need to sit there, and if a person sings and makes a foul note, why, find something good about it and keep yourself with the first love. When we had the first love, you'd go to church, you had a glorious service every time. Why? Couldn't have no other kind. You got the first love. Now, boy, if that same standard was for us today, we'd all be sunk. But aren't you glad that since the early church that Jesus has changed it all? And he said, now, children, I understand your situation. You're in the end time, and sin is abounding, and there's a lot of worldliness and a lot of sports, and there's a lot of things to keep you away. So I'm going to kind of let you kind of go along and get by with a lot of things. How many believe, like Brother Hibbard, you're not going to get by with nothing?
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you'd have gone there and you'd have said to one of those members of the Ephesus church, you'd have just kind of sat down and said, you know, you're not getting by with nothing. What do you mean we're not getting by with nothing? I'm Brother So-and-so. I'll let you know I'm a charter member of this church. You watch the pan. I put it in the pan when you come by. When we stand, boy, I stand. When they raise their hand, I raise my hand. When they pray, I pray. When they go to the altar, I go to the altar. Well, I'll tell you right now, what do you mean I'm not getting by with nothing? John's got a message you got out there on that hill, on that Isle of Patmos. He's getting ready to open it. I've already read it. You're not getting by. You think you're all right. Why, sure I'm all right. And you know what? They thought they're all right. And there's a lot of people today in churches that think they're all right. We better check. First love. I'm going to tell you right now, my own self, I say, oh God, it's not enough to be a member of the church. Everybody call me Reverend Hibbard or Brother Hibbard. Just because I know I can talk to God, God lays his hand on me, God deals. I dare say that preacher's getting messages from God. But I'm going to tell you, he got one day. He said that congregation out there is not where they ought to be. And how many believe that when Jesus comes? Now, the reason I say that, if it's here in the Bible and I don't read it to you and teach it to you, I'm a false prophet.
That's right.
You know what he said? He said, John, this revelation I just gave you, these message churches, I'm going to tell you something about it. You get your pencil and put down. He said, blessed are they that read and they that hear the words of the prophets of this book. He said, I know everything I said, and I want you to tell it to them. And I'm going to tell you, when you preach that, just like I preached it this morning, it's going to hit a lot of them.
Yes.
Lose your first love. You can get so absorbed in working for God, you forget all about God. You can be as backslid as the devil. Because he used to have something and he's backslid. I said you can be as backslid as the devil. And be in a church up to your gills working overtime for the service in the church and turning out work in the church, and as backslid as you can be. No more prayerful, no more serving God, no more first love. You've just, as far as religion is concerned, you're as far from it as the fellow that never comes to church. But you're working up to your gills in the church. You understand what I mean? You can be under the nose like Judas was, be under the very nose of Jesus every day. He had a business he had to put out. Let me see, the KO market there gave us $28. And they say, don't bother me, I'm busy. I got to figure up how much here. Let me see, Jay, who's that while ago? J.O. Jones. J.O. Jones give $5 to a good cause, Put it in my sack. And he was very busy for the Lord and become a thief while he's doing it. Huh? Yeah. And he died and went to hell. There's a whole bunch of them doing it. You say, Brother Edward, oh, let's hear something good. That's good, what I'm telling you. Amen. It's letting you know that God's running the show. Brother, we're headed on a course. I'm praying for a revival, but you've got to get people lost before you can get them saved. There's too many church members today thinking they're all right, brother. They need to be awakened. You know what I want us to do right now? I want to stand and pray that this week of prayer will help to awaken preachers, people everywhere. And a few messages like I've just been giving here this morning. And it got over there. You know a while ago when I was talking over there? Boy, don't you never think that I didn't know that I had him on the hook. So how can you do that? I don't know. I don't know how it works. I was preaching like a house on fire one day. Stop. You remember this, Brother Hicks? Stop, just like it. See, he was right there taking down. He remembers it. On the radio. Stop just like that. I said, wait just a minute. I don't even know what I was preaching on. But I stopped and I said, wait a minute. There's a woman out there that's real sick, suffering. And she wants prayer right now. And I said, you folk in radio land that believe in God, bow your head and pray. Now, Jesus, whoever this woman is, touch that body and heal it for Jesus' sake. Right now, Lord. Amen. Went right on preaching. Picked up where I left, I went on preaching. 2 days after that, got a letter. Said, Brother Hibbard, I want to let you know you wasn't off the beam. I'm going to tell you what happened. I had a major affliction in my body. I'd laid there so sick. It finally got to where it was eating away at my nerves. I got to where that I was so nervous that I couldn't go to church. I'd been shut off for a year or so from the church. I looked forward for my food on the radio. But to hear the sound of voices, noise, would eat on my nerves so. I got so tired, I felt like I would have a fit. My nerves had popped, and I didn't want to cut that radio off because that was my source of life. And laying in that bed in that condition, knowing that I was getting worse every day, and that thing was making me so nervous I was going to have to cut it off. And if I did, that was my lifeline. I raised my hand while you was preaching that message. And here's what happened. I raised my hand and I said, Lord, you see me in this bed. You know all about me. And you know I can't stand that noise anymore. I need healing right now. Have Brother Hibbard stop preaching and pray for me right now. And he said, when I said that, you stop. You said, there's a woman out there that's sick and wants prayer. And you stopped preaching, you prayed for me, and when you did, the power of God came on my body. The glory of God flooded my soul. I jumped out of bed, my nerves was brand new, and I've been a brand new woman. And I'm writing this letter telling you that you hit it right on the button. Don't ask me how it's done. I just know it's done. And I know I had some on the hook this morning. And brother, I'm going to tell you, I was very conscious that I was talking to backsliders. And we're going to raise our hand right now and we're going to ask God to get a hold of them. Now, Father, we pray for those backsliders that is out there. And if they try to get away from it, just don't let them get away from it. I want you to stir their heart. God, I want you to deal with them. I want you to deal with them. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I thank you. Now, God, when they cut that radio off and they go about to eat, I want you to let that message stay before them. And when they lay down to sleep, let their eyes stay open. And I want them to think about that message. I want them to think about their sin. I want them to think about the thing that'll damn them in hell. Lord, I pray that you'll convict them and bring them in. Bless and undertake, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I never cease to marvel how God works with you. Now, tomorrow morning, you say, what preacher will we have tomorrow morning? It doesn't matter who comes, so long as they're a mouthpiece of God. Paul said, I spake, and you received it, not as of men, but as it is in truth. The words not of men, but the words of God. It was the words of God. I was up doing the talking, but it was not words of men. It was words of God. I don't care who you get, what they look like. If they're a channel and God gives the message, it is not to be accepted as men's word, but the words of God. I gave a message this morning that was exactly what God wanted to give. It was needed. Tomorrow morning, I'm expecting the same thing to happen. And how many believe it's going to happen? Now you say, well, in these days, that don't work. I'm going to tell you one thing. Nothing works but it. I just thought I'd tell you. They think the other's working. Nothing's working. They're not building nothing. Brother, you've got to have a foundation. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have another great time tomorrow.